This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland with you here on a Tuesday morning. Glad to be here with you. We are having some fun today. We are reacting to what sounds like a successful surgery for Patrick Mahomes, but maybe a little more trouble than anybody anticipated. We'll get you the latest on what the team was saying yesterday, the news from last night, and what it may all look like moving forward for the Chiefs. We've also got voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, stopping by in our next segment. And we have Bill Self to react to. He spoke Monday ahead of their game tonight for KU. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for holiday fun. Bring the whole family and your out-of-town visitors to WBC for a taste of pizza and beer made here. East near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley, Wichita Brewing Company, where groups gather for the holiday season. You can call us at 869-1240. You can comment with us on Facebook, YouTube, or X. You can leave voice messages on the Odyssey app. Lots of ways for you to get in touch with us today. TJ, how are you?
Good morning. The show started and I didn't hear the Hawaiian shirt music. I thought it was Wednesday and I thought that it officially died. And I was going to have a really good day if that was the truth. But sadly, tomorrow I'm going to wake up and hear that ukulele.
That's right. I don't listen. I don't know what to tell you other than you should stop being a fun hater. We'll be rocking and rolling Hawaiian shirt Wednesday tomorrow as normal, as you should. It'll feel a little like Hawaii tomorrow.
It's going to be like 65 degrees on Christmas.
You damn right it will be. This is why we do this. We inspire the season, you know, like this is what we want here.
Big news on the golf game, by the way. Yesterday, hit the simulator up, played the old course at St. Andrews, broke 90. We're back.
Okay. On a simulator, too?
Yeah. Okay. Simulators help you. You don't lose any golf balls on the simulator.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Simulators don't help me. Simulators don't like my ball flight. They pretty consistently give me weird reads on what I normally shoot in the real life, but they're fun. I like the simulator. I need to work on my swing. I haven't done anything golf related. I don't know. 2 months probably. We're getting up there. Shout out to Crestview Country Club, great sponsor of the show. They've got two simulators, by the way. So this time of year, and I need to do this, they've got a room with the two simulators with the TV set to whatever you want. A great place. You watch a game, you grab a bucket of beers, you grab some wings, you hit the simulator. It's fantastic. Now's a good time to give Crestview a call. Ask them about that and all the different things they have available for you in a membership. Best prices of the year. Thanks to them for supporting us here on Sports Daily. All right, TJ, real quick, and we'll dig into this a little deeper, but as we have just a few minutes here before we talk to Wyatt Thompson, Patrick Mahomes has his surgery last night. According to multiple reports, it was a success. According to multiple reports, it would be guessed that there was LCL issues also. So that's what we didn't want to see. But it looks like if you're into the sports doctors on Twitter, I am. I love those guys. One of them, Dr. David Chow, says that it is they did it now likely to avoid any need for a second surgery. If you do it early, it can speed up the timeline. So it's a repair, and he's trying to compare it to Micah Parsons. Micah Parsons looks different. He's not having the surgery. So there's a lot out there, and we'll all, you know, try to figure out what in the world's going on here. But man, it's almost certainly going to cost him some time into the regular season next year.
Yeah, it should. That you think as well. I'm confused about it. I'm not going to lie to you, because it feels like we saw a lot of news about like it was a successful surgery. We could see him, you know, really targeting a September return and trying to attack this thing as fast as he can. And then it turned into, well, he also tore his LCL.
Yeah, I don't think we didn't hear he tore it. They just repaired it. It could have. Did we hear it was a tear on his LCL?
I'm almost maybe it certain was. Rappaport said.
Maybe it was. Like so the main NFL beat guys are saying the same thing. They expect, you know, 9 months or so. Chow, these sports doctors online are incredible, because they'll see it. They'll read between the lines before they even had surgeries. Like the fact that they're going right now and the fact that he's talking to this doctor makes me think there's probably some LCL. But if you go all the way back to him just watching it, like you go all the way back to Sunday when it happened, he was like, boy, that looks like that's probably going to be an LCL too, based on the way his knee bent out. But it sounds like that's all a smart thing to do too. Like, yeah, he's pointing that out, but he's saying like, this seems like the right way to handle it. You do all of this now, it avoids any complications later. And then, you know, over time, it'll speed up the timeline, because you're not going to like find out, oh man, there's also something here. So they were playing it safe, but 9 months is the term that keeps getting used. 9 months would obviously be like week two of the regular season. So that's not bad news. That's probably good news. And I just want to you have to historically look at Mahomes and his ability to stay healthy, recover, do all these things. I still think, and I said this when it happened, I will not be surprised if Mahomes does not miss any games next year. He's not going to play in the, you know, summer or preseason or training camp or anything else. But I haven't been thinking about this. Like, he's going to miss 6 games. I hope that's not the case, but at least we get some good news on Monday.
Yeah, it feels like it is good news. Rappaport did say it is a torn LCL, so that happened as well. Ian Rappaport, but he's saying 9 months as well. So yeah, I mean, if that's the case, you know, you're thinking about it. He's probably honestly targeting week one. Like, that's the way that they'll probably attack this. I mean, that tells you something that he, you know, has surgery the next day and does all this stuff. And I'm sure that that means that it's going to be an aggressive rehab to try to do that. And then, you know, if that's the truth, the storylines turn into what does Patrick Mahomes look like coming off of a torn ACL? You know, it's better than not Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure. So we'll wait and see. Nobody knows that answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, you know, and listen, too, like, don't take anything for granted. Carson Wentz has never looked the same.
Right? I know, that's like, what I'm saying.
Sam Bradford, probably. Like, there are guys who haven't. There are lots of guys who have come back from this great. There are some guys who it's taken more time. There are some guys that haven't come back from it well at all. It's funny, I saw this yesterday, and I can't believe we haven't mentioned this. It was the same season after the same number of Super Bowls and all of those things that Tom Brady had the only season he didn't make the playoffs. Now, the circumstances of not making the playoffs are certainly different, but it was the ACL injury. It's like these two careers are just wildly mirrored and always have been.
That's what Chiefs fans,
you hope they always will be, right?
That's what I was joking about yesterday, is I can't wait in 30 years to be defending the Chiefs dynasty to the young heads and say something along the lines of, well, they didn't make the playoffs in his ninth year. It's like, yeah, he tore his ACL. What a silly thing
to like have define a stretch of good football like that, like to not make it in a singular year. I thought we defined this thing by Super Bowls, right? Yeah. Like, I thought that was the only thing that defined, and I still think that, by the way. But like, to get into the semantics of it, like, it's all about the Super Bowls that you win over a period of time.
Then we're now talking Jordan LeBron. Is losing in the Super Bowl a bigger deal than losing and not making the playoffs?
Is making the Super Bowl a bigger deal than not making the Super Bowl? Right? I mean, I would say making the Super Bowl is better than not making the Super Bowl. But people say, well, they lost the Super Bowl. Like, well, the other guy didn't get to the Super Bowl.
All right, there you go. Jacob thinks LeBron is better than Jordan, everybody.
We'll save that for a summer topic when we need to fill some time. Wyatt Thompson joins us next. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in here. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up this morning. That insider, Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. Wyatt, good morning. How are you?
I'm really, really well. Good morning to you guys. Everything good?
Everything's good. We're just excited that we're getting a little warmer weather here this week. Looks like Christmas will be, you know, get out in the backyard and sling the football around kind of weather. We're seeing staffing changes. Speaking of football, Wyatt, we're seeing some of the, you know, some of the coaching staff come together. We've seen new guys come in. We've seen some guys retained. How do you evaluate and how do you think it's going right now for Colin Klein in this fever pitch? We haven't had a lot of player news, but the coaching news has been coming in.
Yeah, and I think that was probably the biggest focus, right? You want to get that in place. Not that he hasn't dealt with some of the players, if not most of them. He was here last week, Wednesday through, I believe, pretty late on Friday before heading back. And I know that he had, you know, one-on-ones with all of the coaches and many of the players. And I think it's been good. I didn't really try to allow myself to think about, well, how many is he going to keep on the staff or how many will be let go? I kind of just wanted to see how that would play and not have a thought, you know, either way. It's hard to do that. I'm not going to kid you. I've become friends with so many of those guys, as you might surmise. And, it's difficult. When you think about, I mean, I talked to Joe Klanderman and as one example, right after, you know, Colin was announced and, you know, he talked about, you know, I've been with Chris a long time, you know, I would like to stay, but you know, if I'm forced to go do something else, it's going to be okay. And, that turned out really, really well for Joe. He's now at Baylor. We see on the other hand, a Buddy Wyatt who was retained and will coach the defensive line. So yeah, it's, Colin's been really busy. There's no doubt about that. I think we knew that that was going to be the case, but I don't think I've changed much in terms of my excitement level, though, moving forward, because I think, you know, with what he's doing to this particular point, and I think what lies ahead will be exciting for all of us. And as you know, it won't be long. We'll be at the first of the year, and shortly after that, they'll be starting spring football. So it's a cycle, and here we go.
It's true. Wyatt, as they keep going through all this stuff, we've talked about how busy he's going to be through all this stuff. I mean, it's a people made a big deal about, you know, the Lane Kiffin situation of the playoff in a new job, or the John Summerall situation of playoff in a new job. Those guys are head coaches, and I'm sure that takes on a lot more stuff. But, you know, Colin Klein is a head coach trying to figure out everything at K-State right now, while also being the offensive coordinator at Texas A&M. That's coming up soon. What did that look like? You know, he said he was in Manhattan last week. Is he going back and forth? What's it look like right now?
Well, it's my understanding that he's going to continue to do that. I would tell you that after leaving here last Friday, he'll be there through that first playoff game upcoming. Then I think a decision will be made of what fits. Of course, you know, winning and losing matters there. I think they've all along had an agreement that he would be able to coach all the way through for Texas A&M, whatever that means, whether it's, you know, a game or all the way through to potentially a national championship type situation. But, you know, I said this maybe to you guys a week ago, but I know he's a first-time head coach, and I understand that. But, you know, in visiting with him when he was here, I think he has a pretty good vision on what he wants to see the program look like, the kind of people that, you know, he would like to surround himself with. And I would guess, this is just a guess on my part, but you're probably not going to go get everybody on the staff that's your first choice. So you have to have some options there. It's kind of like recruiting, you know, to go get one good quarterback, you probably need 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 on the table, right? So, yeah, he's trying to balance all of that. It's not easy, but I'm pretty stoked that I think he's going to do just fine with all of this.
Do we have any indication, Wyatt, what the offense, have you heard any names? What style should we expect? Obviously, that's Klein's cup of tea.
Yeah.
Right? There's no indication he's going to try to handle being a head coach and an offensive coordinator, right? He's got to bring somebody in, but I'm just curious, like, how that particular spot goes, because we're all waiting on a decision from Avery Johnson.
Right.
Avery Johnson needs to take the best opportunity for his own development. They need makers in the offense. Like, to me, all the attention's on this offense. He's an offensive guy, but what kind of help is he looking to bring in?
Well, I think if I'm going to be perfectly blunt and honest here, I think there's a lot on the table here, and maybe not all decisions have been made. We know, A, that Colin Klein is going to be the head coach. We don't know beyond that whether, as an example, he's going to hire a quarterback's coach who, as an example, might also be the play caller slash coordinator. Or maybe they hire an offensive guy and he's in the booth. Colin has a hand in the play calling. I think all of that is a possibility at this point. You hear things, right? But I can't sit here and tell you today that I'm 100% certain on how that's going to play. But I do think Colin will have a large role in this. And what will they look like? Well, I think they'll probably look a lot like A&M is, if you've watched them at all. And or if you go back to, you know, the Snyder days, I think K-State will be and he talked about this during his presser, they're going to be physical, they're going to be tough, they're going to run the ball first, but yet also have some balance. And I, you know, Colin's an offensive guy, he likes to throw it around too, and I'm looking for some dynamic things there offensively, but you got to go get players to do that too. We'll see.
Wyatt, I'm wondering, we've talked about this a little bit whenever the day came of the announcement and everything like that, but, you know, you watched him play in the Snyder days, then you lived through the whole Klieman era calling those games, and now you're here. A lot of people keep using the terms of new old school. Like, he's going to try to make this look as Snyder as he can in the new realm of college football. What's your opinion on that? Is that possible to do in the new world of college football?
Oh, I think it's definitely possible. And I think you have to quantify what does that mean, right? But I think what we talked about, playing, you know, with physicality and toughness and being well prepared, being accountable on all counts, if you will, and everything you do as a player and or a coach or as a staff person in this program. I think that's the Snyder-like approach, right? That I believe that is what this will look like. And I felt like that if this ever happened, that would be the case, right? Colin is, you are what you know, right? And I think he has an immense amount of respect for Bill Snyder and what he accomplished here, how he went about it, just, you know, nose to the grindstone. And I don't think Colin's going to be too far away from that. Are they going to do everything exactly the same? No. But I think that model is what he would like to look like. 100% true.
All right, Wyatt, let's talk a little bit of hoops here. K-State gets some time away. They got a win against Creighton, and it was a game where P.J. Haggerty wasn't leading the way. I mean, I think that's a good thing. Are you concerned that Haggerty didn't lead the way, or are you happy they won in a game where he didn't look his best?
That's a great question, honestly, but I would answer it like this. I really liked PJ's first half when he wasn't, when he was just playing and a lot of times distributing the ball. Second half, I thought he got just a little bit more, I won't say selfish, but was in the score mode in his mind.
Right.
And I don't know that they had the same ball movement, took the same kind of shots. Guys, they were cooking in that first half. They were cooking. Up 51-33. Made a ton of threes, and it was harder in the second half. You knew that they would make a run, they being Creighton, of course, and they did. Unfortunately, K-State didn't shoot the ball well to start the second half. They did. You close the gap. Now the place is exploding with excitement, but K-State found a way to fight them off with that, and it wasn't with the three, right? I mean, they made a lot of threes on Saturday, but all of them except one. They were 1-for-11 in the second half. And I think to a point they got, or at a point, they just went like, okay, if we're going to win this game, we're going to do it winning with mid-range jump shots, off the bounce stuff, and attacking the goal. And they did that. And Stan and I talked about this on the broadcast. In my mind, and I think in Stan's too, last 5-6 minutes, K-State got tough. They were better, were the better team. And I was excited could be to see them win that, because it can help them moving forward. I still think there's a higher ceiling left for this group. They're getting better. David Castillo would be an interesting name to bring up at this point. He was great at the end of that game. Kamari was really good. Abdi was really good. I think Elias Rapiak is starting to figure out some things too, playing harder and tougher. So there were a lot of things there, and at the end of the day, to walk out of there with a win when they had gone, what, 15-2 at home a year ago and 4-0 this year, whew, I'm taking that and getting out of cold, cold, cold Omaha, Nebraska, buddy.
Yeah, you talked about David Castillo. That felt like it kind of was the headline after this game. I know that there was a lot of buzz, you know, even, you know, coaches were tweeting about David Castillo and what he did. For him to be, you know, a lot of people have talked about, like, that is what you want a K-State basketball player to look like, you know? Like, he's the kind of guy who was, you know, in some places a five-star out of high school, comes in, doesn't fit into the exact role maybe he expected his freshman year, and then stays and sticks with it, and then kind of, you know, blossom. That's the best game he's played at K-State, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's not what the coaches would tell you, too. Just looking at his line here, 19 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. He scored 19 points in 23 minutes and made 7 of 11 shots. But with the game on the line, he made big buckets. Yep. And that drive off the bounce and the little flip to the goal on the dunk by Kamari was big time. He's just figuring it out. And I think all of us felt like at some point he was more than capable of doing that. And, boy, it's great to see. You can just see in his body language how confident he is right now, and I'm so excited for him, because I'm telling you, man, he ripped it in the weight room this summer, and he knew he had to get bigger and stronger to be able to do this, and it's working out for him just pretty darn well.
Love seeing it at the young age. So Saturday, it's South Dakota, and then K-State taking a little bit different and interesting approach to the holiday week. So they don't play during the week. They play Saturday, and then they actually do sneak one more in before the start of Big 12 play. But is it that they're opening Big 12 play with one of their byes? Is that why they're not playing until Saturday? Or it can seem their schedule's a little funky.
Yeah, it is a little bit funky, but part of that is class. Part of that is he wants to get him away for about 4 days for Christmas and all of that stuff. So they'll play this Saturday, 11 a.m. That was done on purpose to get him out. Then they'll come back like late Christmas night is my understanding. They turn right around and then play on the 28th, which is a Sunday, at home against Louisiana Monroe, ULM, and then just a handful of days there. And how about this for starting Big 12 play? Yeah. BYU at home on the 3rd, and then you're out basically a week going to Arizona and Arizona State. Mm. Welcome to the 12, fellas. That is rough. But you know what? You got to play them all anyway.
It's about to say it's going to be that way all year. I don't think there's a schedule relief will not come in the Big 12. But you guys will have it right here on KFH Saturday. It's an early tip. Wake up early with the Cats, South Dakota. South Dakota's always felt a little pesky, but it's a home game, and hopefully K-State is on its way back to the team we saw early in the year that we all had high hopes for. Wyatt, we look forward to the call.
Thanks, fellas. Great talking to you. Appreciate it.
There goes Wyatt Thompson, voice of the K-State Wildcats, here with us on Sports Daily. Speaking of college basketball, TJ, Darren Peterson and KU, as we're talking about it, sounds like Bill Self said yesterday it was his quad, and he used something to the lines of hamstring was not used one time. So now it's the leg, but it's not the hamstring, it's the cramps. I actually think that's not the worst news in the world. Bill Self seemed as open and honest about it yesterday as I've heard him. But that was kind of the description, right? Like it was his quad. Hasn't heard the staff use the term hamstring one time. But all of that being said, talked about how frustrated Darren Peterson is and how he wants to get out there. But if that's the case, that tells me he is just going to play through it, right? Like if it's a re-aggravation of a hamstring, that's where I'm like, you got to shut him down. But if it's something different and they just can't put their finger, then at that point I'm like, well, yeah, okay. Like he just plays 25 minutes a game and you take it for now, because I don't know. And Bill Self admitted, he's like, we haven't handled it right, 'cause we don't know what to do. I don't think Darren Peterson knows what, I don't think anybody knows what to do.
It's weird. There's a lot of, you know, speculation, I guess, from you know, people online, our favorite group of people. But even writers and journalists have put out pieces I've seen of them saying, like, just shut him down and figure it out once you get to January. And KU has, like, openly said, we don't want to do that, basically. It's interesting of how do you handle it? I don't know. Like, if it's a completely different injury, do you think it's an isolated thing and you just keep trying? I am curious. If this happens in practice, like that's the part we don't really know.
It doesn't, but it's, you know, because they would, like, every time Bill Self's asked about practice, he looks good in practice. He was able to go.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Is he being
sure he's good?
Is he being coy about that? I don't think he is. I think it's the truth. I think that he looks good in practice, and then there's something about a game that makes it aggravate itself. And I don't understand why. I don't know if it's a, you know, is it a stamina thing? Is it a, you know, like, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to try to play this game, but I don't know. I don't know how you handle this situation because I agree. I don't think that sitting him down for a month is going to do anything.
I don't either. And I think you got to do two things. You got to trust your training staff to some degree who can take MRIs and do all these things and tell you there's nothing wrong with his hamstring, right? Like it's not like some injury. Like they're not like, not that he's, like, it's not like a structural issue, and you have to trust Darren Peterson. Like, a part of getting players like him, and I'm not, he is by all accounts not some prima donna anything. Like, he legitimately, like, is hurt for somehow. You talk to him, like, are you comfortable with this? Are your, you know, are the people that are, you know, hopefully helping you navigate this and get to, you know, this ultimate goal and be the number one overall pick, like, are we all comfortable with this plan? And I would have to imagine that everybody is, or they wouldn't be doing it. Like, you, so, you know, I'm like watching locker room celebration videos. Like, I've never done anything like this. I'm like, is he Like, is he involved in that celebration? He looks so happy. Like, he looks like he loves being there. So all of the stuff people keep, and it's, you know, sometimes it's people that you're like that are a little more plugged in and maybe a little more aware and aren't just fanboys out there overreacting to things, which is totally okay and totally different. But like, you've got some people where you're like, really, you're going to have that take about this 18-year-old kid who's, I mean, he's trying to go. Like, he's getting out there. It would be so easy for a kid who doesn't have to play any more basketball this year and go be the number one overall pick to be like, nope, not, I'm not doing that. Like, not worth it. Not at all. It would be, and it would be understandable, but man, he doesn't have any interest in that. He loves doing it. He loves being there. He's trying to get out there every game, and they're just going to have to work through it this way. All right, TJ, let's dig in a little further to the Mahomes news. We gave it to you right off the top that the surgery was a success, that there was LCL damage in there, and everybody from the reporting to some of the Twitter doctors who are really good at what they do are using kind of 9 months as a baseline. 9 months would be September 15th, which would be week two, right? Or week three. I don't know what date the season starts next year. It's certainly not week six, and there could certainly be setbacks. He could certainly beat the prognosis in the timeline too. It's Mahomes. That's kind of what he does, is recover quickly. Does it change, though, what we've been talking about for a couple of days here on how to approach this offseason? Does it change anything to know he could only miss a game or two?
I mean, potentially. I think that there's a – but the thing is, I think it changes your mindset going into it, that you don't have to, like, go all out, I guess is the word, but not even that. Like I think that you're just a little less stressed throughout the offseason because of this news. But I think that everything that you were going to do, you were going to do anyways. Like, they were never, unless in the cards was going to sign Joe Flacco, something like that, which I didn't think that they were going to do. But like, all the other moves for this team, like, you know, cap rearrangement and bringing in guys and the strategy that they would draft, I don't think that that will change at all, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think the strategy of the draft changes at all. I don't think the idea that it would benefit them to get a little more run based would change at all, because that stuff needs to happen.
They don't have a running back on the team. They have Breshard Smith is the only running back on the team for next year currently.
They could bring back Kareem Hunt if they wanted to. But again, what is Kareem Hunt going to be? He's going to be a short yardage specialist. Breshard Smith is a pass catching specialist. They still need a bell cow if they're going to do it. Pacheco, unfortunately, has never looked as explosive since his own injury and is not that guy. So, those things don't change. Their need for a pass rusher is as big or bigger than it ever has been with another year of Chris Jones and George Karloftis. Not knowing George Karloftis isn't going to be that dude. Like, you got to take another shot at that, I think. So I agree with you. I don't think any of that changes. I keep hearing a lot of people fantasize about wide receivers, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, guys, they've spent first and second and third round picks on wide receivers for an eternity. Like, Rashee Rice will be good enough. Rashee Rice is a good player. We'll see what a healthy Worthy can do. They just drafted Jalen Royals. Like, it's just too much at some point. The one thing I wonder about is Kelce, right? The one thing that sort of would be the unknown in the offseason right now would be Kelce. Yeah, he's not, an MVP candidate like he used to be at times, but he's still one of the most productive pass-catching tight ends in football. Is he ready to hang it up if he knows Mahomes is going to be back sooner? Like, that's it. But, that doesn't really involve the Chiefs. The Chiefs would welcome him back with open arms. They should, if he wants to come back.
I think that they would
tell you that he probably is ready to be done with this, but
yeah, I think nobody knows that answer except for Travis Kelce. I don't even think that Jason Kelce knows that answer. And honestly, I don't know if Travis Kelce knows that answer. As it currently stands. But the way that I keep approaching everything with this offseason the past couple of days is like, he could come back, and I think that, you know, he'd be better than the replacement of whoever that may be. Like, if it is Noah Gray, Noah Gray has shown flashes. 2 years ago, he was like a top 15 tight end as the backup to Travis Kelce. Like, Noah Gray is capable of doing it. I still think Travis Kelce is probably better than Noah Gray, which sounds insane of you know, how old he is in NFL terms of still playing tight end. But I agree. Chiefs would welcome him back with open arms, but it wouldn't. It would be a surprise if it happens. I think that that's the way to handle this situation.
It would be. So then it's like, okay, do they need any more juice? They've got to make a decision on offense, right? And you know, the timeline of Mahomes, this is what I wonder. Like, you either continue trying to be a pass-based offense, right? And it's maybe short to intermediate to set up, or you become a balanced offense. And I don't know. That's a question we don't know the answer to at all. And that'll depend on what Andy Reid wants to do. That'll depend on about a billion things, right? It'd be great if they had the money to just go bring in Breece Hall. That'd be awesome. But that's probably not in the cards, because they've got to get a lot of things accomplished. I think the offensive line is fine. I think the heavy investment, if you're going to make a heavy investment, kind of all needs to come through free agents. I mean, through on the defensive side of the ball, if it's coming through free agency. Like, to me, the next evolution of the Chiefs needs to be a run-based, defensive-first Chiefs. It's almost like it, and you know, I know we talk a lot about the Patriots, but that's who they're chasing, right? It's the inverse. You flip it upside down. The Patriots started as this run-based, defense-first, Tom Brady makes all the good decisions, and then it eventually evolved into a high-octane passing offense. What if you flip that upside down, right? The Chiefs start as this high-octane passing offense, but we can also pretend like Mahomes still makes all of the incredible throws with his eyes closed. He doesn't anymore. He misses a lot of throws. He makes some poor decisions. How many deep balls did he miss on this year? Maybe the best version of Mahomes 2.0 is to use his ability to make critical plays and be Superman and do all that stuff. Maybe take some of the workload off of him. Be a run-based team. I think it's the natural progression of things, but it's going to take, you know, an organization totally resetting itself in what we're used to seeing.
I think I'm more into this offseason. I think I'm more pro running back than most people are, like pro running back over pass rush, I guess. I would not be upset at all if they drafted Jeremiah Love. Like, that would be,
it won't be, I think probably won't be in a position to. I wouldn't either, by the way.
What, you wouldn't be upset?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be upset. Because you get him for 5 years at that point.
For free, basically. Yeah, I agree. I'm pretty pro draft a running back, because I think the thing is, Jacob, on your point here, the best thing that the offense can do, like, they can't get much better in terms of skill guys, wide receivers, and tight end, if Kelsey's still there, and quarterback. Like, that is all in place. Like, I don't think that you can just become a run-based team off of that. I think you can, you know, bring you back down and level the scales a little bit more with a good running back and think about that. But, like, their biggest issue throughout the skid that they had in this late season has been, I mean, I don't know if you call it play calling, but more so the fact of, like, the scheme isn't working. Like, right. The defense has adjusted, I think, is the, like, and it's part of offensive line as well, and that goes into that a lot. But, like, everybody complains about the play calling, and that's the biggest thing that I always see all the time. It's like, what is Andy thinking? Why are we calling these plays? And it's the, like, you have three of the best wide receiver, like, you have the best wide receiver core in the NFL. Like, you're just not going to throw the ball? Like, you have to. Like, you've made your bed. That's what the Chiefs are. And running back may help, you know, change the scheme of that a little bit, but you're not going to not throw the ball. You're still going to try to score 50 points a game if you're the Chiefs, which they haven't done and hasn't worked the past couple of years, but that's always been
a long time since they've been that offense. And so that's what's so strange too. Like, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl 2 years ago by being a defense first team. Last year, they almost won a Super Bowl by being a defense first team. This year was supposed to be the year where the offense made this comeback, right? Yeah. They get the line figured out. You've got all your your players back. And for a very brief moment, we saw it. We're not going to, like, the chances of Kelce coming back are low. The chances of Mahomes being 100% right out of the gates are low. So what does that mean? Like, it's time philosophically to just buy into it. 2 years ago when they went to the Super Bowl, I've said this before because I've happened to look it up. Like, they ran the ball more than Chiefs teams have in this Mahomes era. They did. It wasn't very effective, but they did it. They committed to it. You could redesign with the, if this offensive line is healthy, and by all accounts it will be, it hasn't, you know, they've been hurt this year, but going into next year, it is, Joshua Briscoe pointed this out yesterday and he's right, it should be a road grader offensive line. Your offensive line's built around Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith in the middle. Run the ball up the middle.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
And so to your point, yeah, if there's a running back that just, if Jeremiah Love falls in their lap, and I don't know what guys think of him as a pro prospect. I haven't begun remotely that process yet.
He's a first rounder.
Bijan Robinson is sitting there, then yeah, you'd be fine to take him. If Jahmyr Gibbs is sitting there and they're, yeah, fine. But the thing we know about running backs is you don't have to do that. Like, running backs, you can get in the second round. You can get in the third round. You can get really good ones that way.
But you can't get Jeremiah Love in the second or third round. That's the difference.
Yeah, I don't know what – I don't know.
He's a first-round pick. Every mock draft has him in the top 15, right? Okay. Last time I looked, he was mocked to 11, which is the Chiefs pick. So a lot of people think that. It depends if you're pro pass rush or pro running back in the draft. And if you get one in the draft, you probably sign the other one, is the mentality that they likely go into all this with.
Defensive end. Like, they're not out there. Not the kind that they need. That has to be a draft pick. But yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be like the thing right this second.
I don't know. The thing that I to double down on my argument here, you'd like the defense to be better. We talked about that there really wasn't a ton of pass rush this year, and that probably could have helped them in some circumstances, but they still had the fifth best defense in the NFL. They allowed the fifth fewest points in the entire NFL. Like, they lost a lot of games because their offense couldn't get the one more score. Like, the offense couldn't get to, 24 to win a football game.
Don't,
like,
disagree with that at all.
That was what was broken, I think.
It was, but the reality is, a Minnehue, Trent McDuffie probably, Nazi Johnson, like, they're Brian Cook. They're gonna lose Leo Chenal's a free agent. What happens?
Oh, they're gonna have to replace a team, like, 100%. It's just a matter of what do you want to invest the big things in.
And I would invest the big things on that side, because we have to understand Mahomes is going to be coming off an ACL. Like, they won't do anything if they don't have a good defense next year. I don't think.
True.
And so that's...
They haven't been able to play outscore you football since 20.
And that needs to go. Like, that's what they tried to do this year. And it didn't work for a variety of reasons. But now, coming off of an ACL, like, I think that's the evolution, the biggest evolution that has to come this offseason. And I think everybody agrees on it. All right, we'll come back. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Albrock and Cleland, don't go away.
All right, everybody, welcome back into Sports Daily here on a Tuesday. Jacob Albrock and TJ Cleland with you for another hour here. We've talked a lot about the Patrick Mahomes situation. It is a torn ACL and a torn LCL. Already had surgery on it last night in Dallas, Texas, and all accounts are pointing to a 9-month-ish recovery period, meaning it's early next year. If you missed anything in the first hour, be sure to go back on the Odyssey app. You can listen to everything in podcast form. We also have Wyatt Thompson in, voice of the Wildcats, as they continue to manage through the Colin Klein situation, as well as basketball season nearing closer and closer to conference play. Jacob, what are we digging into next year? Are we going to keep going with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think we can finish some thoughts. I mean, it's just... This is uncharted territory for Kansas City for a long time to need a reset. And, really, like, it's even longer than Mahomes. You got to go way back, like, way back to the last time they've needed to sort of reset organizationally. And I'm not totally sure everybody's going to be bought into that either, by the way. Like, you can make the case that it just didn't work out because of misfortune this year. That's not even a bad case to make, right? Like, Josh Simmons was the right pick. He looks good. He left the team, all those things for a variety of reasons. You lost Xavier Worthy on a crosser on the third play of the season, and he hasn't been able to come back. He didn't have Rashi Rice for six games. You can make the case that if Mahomes is back, that they could continue to try to do some of those same things. But the problem for me is those same things are now another year older. I'm a little more concerned about some of the things we saw from Mahomes this year, obviously before the injury. Like, he's not invincible anymore. Like, he doesn't, everything he does doesn't turn to gold. What does that mean? I still would take him over any quarterback right now. It just means, you know, maybe things in a little bit more structure. Maybe it's just an evolution, and the great ones do it all the time. And I fully believe that he will. But, you know, is it Mahomes throws the ball 50 times a game? Like, is that the best path forward? I would love to know what Andy Reid thinks about that.
I know. That's just Andy Reid's offense that we've seen for 9 years of what they want to do. And so,
I mean, and they did, you know, they did a lot of that with Alex Smith too.
That the question that is so interesting to me about the offensive scheme, we kind of talked about this in the last hour, is like, people don't like the play calling and the scheme, and it's not as electric as it used to be. And so what does everybody do online? Let's go fire the offensive coordinator. Who calls the plays?
Who builds this thing up, right?
I know.
I get it. Look, if you're going to have a whipping boy, fine. Like, the offense was better with Eric Bieniemy than it has been since Eric Bieniemy.
But why?
I don't know.
Tyreek Hill was there?
I have no idea. I don't know. I know that Tyreek Hill is underrated, by the way. Tyreek Hill is like a Hall of Fame caliber, game-changing player that it didn't matter if Mahomes made a perfect throw. Hill just went and found the ball, right? Like, those are, we take that for granted sometimes. But what's crazy is right after he left, they won a Super Bowl and had another offense, a different-looking offense. And that's the thing. Like, the Tyreek Hill offenses were different than the post-Tyreek Hill offenses that still put up mega numbers and won a Super Bowl. So there can be evolutions of this thing. And the Mahomes injury just, it feels to me like it is a, okay, drop the curtain on that version. And what does the next version look like? And how quickly can they get back to it here? We still have to see a player who's never had an injury like this. It would benefit Mahomes for the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season while he's recovered from his knee surgery. You think he's just going to hop right back out there? I mean, he could, but what does that look like? It'd be nice if he only had to throw it 30, 35 times a game for a little while versus 50.
That's another part to think about of all this stuff that we haven't really talked about, is that no quarterback has ever come back from an ACL and probably will have to throw the ball as much as Patrick Mahomes has if the current state of the Chiefs stays the same. Like, is that possible to do? Does that link? I mean, I imagine that makes your rehab longer to try to, you know, stomach the workload that he takes on for the kids. Like, people make jokes all the time about, like, they're going to kill him out there. Like, if you have a torn ACL, I'm not sure what's obtainable.
Well, he's going to have to get it back. Like, he won't run as much. I heard, Rich Eisen, I think it was yesterday, who's kind of with me, by the way. I felt a little better because I've been, you know, like, don't stick a fork into him until they're totally dead. And he had a take that went a little bit viral yesterday of, and obviously he's not talking to a Chiefs-based audience every day like we are, but his point to his staff, who've been giving him a hard time about it, like you guys give me a hard time about it, is like, that's fine. You guys are going to miss them in the playoffs. The AFC playoffs will not be as exciting without the Chiefs in it this year.
I was just thinking about that, of like, it sunk in that the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs and that these next three games are just going to be so weird to watch. But like, my brain doesn't comprehend that there's just not going to be Chiefs football in January until we get to January. Like, you know what I mean?
Even if you're a Chiefs hater. So it's funny. I live in Chiefs Kingdom, have covered the team now for a very long time. But the majority of people that I talk to every day that don't live here hate the Chiefs. And that also, like, you're going to miss them when they're gone. Every playoff game is better that they're in. You can want them to lose that. It's no different than the Patriots. Tom Brady games were more exciting. Love them or hate them. Like, they just were. And so we won't have that this year. But that was an aside. I think it was Eisen yesterday that pointed out Mahomes has the most 10-yard touchdowns for the Chiefs, like, every year. Like, 10 or more yard touchdown runs. Like, they have just had no explosion in that running game for a very long time. And it would totally change the look of everything if they could find the way to do that. And the other thing about that is it seems like the fastest thing that they can do. Like, the thing that they can do with the least amount of effort and roster. Like, you literally at that point, you have your offensive line. Hell, maybe you bring back Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a premier blocking wide receiver, like, whatever. You really only need to drop one player in for that, and it happens to be a player that you don't have to spend that now premium draft resource on if you don't want to. So that's why that makes the most sense to me. But I'm telling you, like, right now, to me, when you look at Jones a year older, and his age has clearly gotten to him, all the pass rushers they're going to lose, the secondary people, their defense has a chance to not be very good next year. And credit to them this year, because it had a small chance to do that this year. They're probably not keeping McDuffie. They're like, all these defensive linemen are going to be gone. Like, it's going to be a total rebuild, and they better hope some of the players they took this year develop, because they took a bunch of them. Man, that's my concern is, And to your point, the other reason you'd like to run the ball is to help out your defense. And they may need it next year. If the goal is to try to be competitive next year, then you've got to be able to run the ball.
It's interesting. Back to the running game, I had a thought here is the fact of where do you consider the Chiefs offensive line? Like, with the pieces they have when healthy, like,
it's top half.
I mean, it's good.
Very good, yeah.
Like, Creed Humphrey is probably the best center in football.
In the conversation, yes.
Trey Smith is right there. I mean, and the rest are
the highest paid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
and I think what we saw from Josh Simmons has a chance to be a top 10 left tackle.
That's the thing. Like, we've talked about how much they've invested in this offensive line to get it to where they want it to be. Like, is it just a good pass rush offensive, like, we've never seen them play in that kind of way. And
Creed Humphrey can move. They're in
that. That's why you pay right guards, like, you know.
And maybe Kingsley Suamataia, who, you know, it's unfortunate that after the season he had last year, the season he's having this year hasn't been allowed to get the attention. But man, what a phenomenal bounce back for him! Like, you feel fine about right tackle, even when Jawan Taylor ultimately is going to be gone because he's too expensive. Their offensive line should be the strength of the offense next year. I don't know what that means as far as what their ultimate ceiling is, but, you know, it sucked this year. You had injuries. Almost everybody but Creed Humphrey, knock on wood, has been injured this year. And Josh Simmons stepped away from the team for a while. But the line should not be any concern next year, I don't think. We've got some viewer comments on it. We can continue the conversation. Did you catch any of that Monday Night Football there, TJ?
No.
We'll talk about the playoff implications of it and look around the NFL. We'll be back. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. We are making our way through here on a Tuesday. We are getting you through the latest with Mahomes. If you missed it there in the last hour, successful surgery. Looked like there was a little LCL to deal with. And the general consensus is around 9 months.
which would be right around the start of the regular season, maybe a little time missed. So the opportunity, Brett Veach, if you're listening, is still there to make everybody's dreams a reality and make Jameis Winston a Kansas City Chief this offseason. Can the league mandate that we get some? You might lose T Swift. You might lose, you know, Taylor and Travis. So if we're looking for, you know, the Chiefs to get some, Jameis Winston's your guy. Can you imagine the conversations between Jameis Winston and Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines in week 8? Man, got to make it happen. Got to make it happen. Still time. Austin asks us, by the way, you can get in touch with us a variety of ways. You can call us 869-1240. You can comment on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, and X. The mute button sneeze is what you just the gap in time there. I don't know if I'm getting old. I don't know what's going on. But for a
just adds
for basic cold to linger now into week 4 for me has been something.
I just appreciate all the dramatic pauses this show has been put me granted for the next 2 months, for the last 2 months.
Put me down. Just take me out back and get it over with. All right. Austin asks us, what's our take on Chris Jones? What do you do with him? Well, I mean, he's under
contract. What is there to do?
It's a good question. He's under contract. I think I'm glad to hear, by the way. So against the Texans, that second half, I'm watching it and I keep thinking, and I can get hyperbolic. I understand that. But I'm like, this is the best Chris Jones has like ever looked this half. Like this half of football, there cannot be a better half he's ever played. And apparently it was his highest graded performance ever, the second half of that game. So that made me feel good about that. But I think you got to understand, like, that's still there. But what we haven't been able to see is that all the time. And that's a product of getting older, I think. Chris Jones's colds probably last a week longer, too, now than they used to. It takes him longer to recover. You know, he came up lame in that game, too. I wouldn't be surprised if they take it real easy with Chris Jones here. He's still, like, he is as impactful a defensive lineman, certainly as a defensive tackle, as we've ever seen, right? It just is, it's insane. It's insane that he played at the same time as Aaron Donald, or we will be having a very different conversation, I think, about Chris Jones historically. But he is one of the top 5 defensive tackles, in my opinion, that's ever played football. He's been unbelievable. He just can't capture that all the time. He needs help, no. Right? And honestly, like if you could get a pass rush in there to where he can't be double and triple teamed every play, he probably becomes a much better player too. So I think that he's got enough left in the tank that I'm totally good with Chris Jones for, you know, I don't know how much longer he wants to do this, but he's, you know,
the question I think that poses the most out of this is like Chris Jones at the end of his contract is going to be 35 or 36 years old, I think 30, 35 years old. Like, and it's a back end, like in 20, what did I just see? 2028, he's going to make $44.8 million.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but everybody's always known that. He's known that. That's how these contracts go. I could see Chris Jones riding off into the sunset. I could see the Chiefs having to make a cut and him, you know, giving it a year or two somewhere else just because he loves it. I mean, like Kelsey's going to be Chiefs or die unless he's got some Cleveland thing or let's go play for the Browns or something. Like Kelsey's Chiefs or die. Yeah. I don't know that that's totally the case with Chris Jones. I think it would be a great story if it was, but we'll see. I think he's got those knee braces on and he came up a little hobbled in this last one. And it's so hard because like these guys have known nothing but winning their entire careers. You know, Kelsey, not so much, but Jones and Mahomes and all these guys. So
I saw a stat this morning, by the way, sorry to interrupt here. The only player on the roster, I think that has ever missed the playoffs is Travis Kelsey. I think that it may be him and James Winchester, I think, are the only two.
Yeah, that would make sense. Winchester, by the way, is an unrestricted free agent. If you look at the daunting list that the Chiefs now have to face.
You got
to
bring him back.
Hey, don't you?
Yeah, he's Mr. Chief.
I know. That's what they all said about who's the old punter? Dustin Colquitt.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't bring Dustin Colquitt? What are we doing? We had an old producer. Shout out to Hendo. That we gave him such a hard time because he was having a genuine like panic attack that they were going to not have Dustin Colquitt. And we're like, listen, it's great. Everybody loves their guys. He's a punter, man. They'll be fine. Austin, to answer your point, I think he looks fine. It's not going to be, you know, young Chris Jones. He's going to be in bursts still really good. And boy, they would sure help if he had some help on the defensive line where it seems like he gets none every game. And we'll see about that George Karloftis contract. This is what I feared. Karloftis is, to me, like an average defensive end in this league. And he didn't get overpaid necessarily, but they invested a lot in him. And that's a contract they're going to need to they'll have on the books for a while. They've got to have to draft the help on the defensive line that they need. They already have. What do they have? $60 million invested in Karloftis and Chris Jones? Like you can't go fix that with free agency. You're going to have to draft some defensive linemen that can generate a pass rush.
Drafted a defensive end 2 years ago. Was out for the entire year this year.
Didn't work out. And they haven't been good at drafting pass rushers for the most part. Depending on, you know, Karloftis and what you think of that. Elsewhere around the league. So we see Pittsburgh kind of flex on Miami that, Miami's done with Kansas City. So that AFC playoff picture that looked so wild and crazy 2 weeks ago is down now to two teams that aren't currently in having a chance to get in. Both of their best chances. Well, Baltimore's best chance will come through the division. And then Indianapolis has a variety of ways they could still do it with Phillip Rivers, if that's the case. But it's Phillip Rivers. They have the injuries. We've talked about how difficult their schedule is down the stretch. Probably the last thing to determine in the AFC is, will it be Baltimore? Will it be Pittsburgh? And they play again, I think. So that's, you know, we've still got 3 weeks left, TJ. And if you go into the NFC, where Detroit kind of needs a miracle, Carolina is still battling it out with Tampa in the division. Dallas blew their chance and every chance they've had. We're kind of like there's not a lot of doors open with 3 weeks left in the season like there normally would be. Mm-hmm. It's sort of separated a little bit this year. And
the NFC is still pretty crazy, isn't it?
Not really. Detroit has an outside chance. They're 8-6. They got to make up 2.5 games, I believe, or a game and a half on Green Bay.
You're right. We might see a lot of eliminated football this year.
It's going to be tricky watches that last. I mean, there's probably there are things to determine as far as like seeding goes, which how, you know, that's sort of exciting, I guess. But it's kind of being determined. We may have like the last 2 weeks of the year where we normally have the last week of the year. So, but anyway, brings up my bigger question. The Chiefs are out. This was yesterday. I heard this conversation a lot since Sunday, and I love it. If you're in Chiefs Kingdom, you want the Chiefs to win. If any team, whoever your team is, my team's out, the Cowboys. Who is the right team to root for here? Like, who should we be rooting for?
I don't know. I think about this too. Is like, I don't know how you are as a sports fan. And I think I tell people this all the time. Like, backstory, just to open the curtain here for everybody, call me a homer if you want. I don't care. I grew up a KU fan. And like, you know, the traditional KU, like, wouldn't touch the color purple, like all that stuff. Then I started covering the teams. And within a week of covering a K-State game, I was like, this is pretty cool too, you know? And now, and I tell people this all the time, whenever they call me a fan of anybody, like I'm a fan of the teams I cover, like all 10 of them. Like
100%.
We root for the teams that we talk about because when they're good, our jobs get better. And that's what happens there. And now, like I remember when the Giants beat the Royals in the world, like I blocked the Giants on social media. I hated Madison Bumgarner. Like I was an anti, I hated this team. I hated this team. And like, I talk to people all the time who are just like, I can't stand, like my day gets better when the Chiefs lose. If you're a Chiefs hater, et cetera. Like now that I do this, I'm like, what the hell are you guys? Just root for your team and the rest is just the rest of the league. Like I don't have any animosity about other teams. Are you the same way as me?
No. I hate the Eagles with a fiery passion.
Like, does your like?
I hate the 49ers with fiery passion. I would prefer that neither of those teams win. Everybody, I don't particularly like Green Bay, but that's rooted in as a kid being a Cowboys fan and kind of what you were just talking about, but not as much anymore. But yeah, I'd prefer that the Eagles or the 49ers didn't win a Super Bowl. That'd be nice. It'd be. I despise the Houston Astros. So yeah, no, I'm not that way. There are teams I dislike greatly. So I don't know.
That my sports watching now has turned into the fact of like, whatever, if the Chiefs are out of it and if the Eagles win, I had a thing for the Eagles after, you know, some of the Eagles stuff. Like if the Eagles went and won a Super Bowl, like my brain would just go to like, man, that's pretty cool. They went back to back. Jalen Hurts won back to back Super Bowls. That's pretty nuts. Absolutely. Like no part of me is going to be like, God, that sucks. Like,
absolutely. You know? By the way, TJ, nobody over the age of probably like 30 knows what sports washing is. So you're going to have to explain to people what that is.
Sports washing?
Is that what you just said? Or did you say no, watching?
I said watching.
Sports washing. Like
no,
some,
no. We're not getting political.
Gen Z term. I'm like, I don't know what that means, man.
That is a thing. That's a political term. I'm not going to
talk
about that.
Is that something that I've probably said that's inappropriate? I've heard it, but I don't know what it is. Like we make up new words for things.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after you. That's not a big
deal. All right. So I think that there is a correct group of teams to root for here. How do you not root for Buffalo?
It's true.
Like how are we not all?
They're such an interesting one because they've been a Chiefs rival in the terms of a rival, but everybody likes them, Broncos, you know?
Right?
But everybody likes them still. Whenever they play, all the fans are like, "Oh, it's Buffalo. That's cool." Yeah.
Yeah. Like we all like Buffalo. The Jim Kelly, like they almost got there, right? Like Buffalo. Josh Allen's so awesome. And that fan base is so awesome. And, you know, when it wasn't getting beat by the Cowboys, which, you know, for 4 or 5 years might have been the best teams we've ever seen in a shorter amount of time. And then it's the Chiefs and Mahomes. And it's like, man, can we just get Buffalo one? Can we just get the Bills one? Chiefs fans won't agree with me on this one. I think the Chargers would be the other one for me that I'll probably pull for the most. My wife and in-laws are big Chargers people. So that's another fan base that has just been kicked in the junk time after time after time. Really great teams, never good enough. Finally got their 1 year and got housed by the 49ers. Got their team pulled from them and moved to LA. Like, I think that would be a good one. I'm also a big Justin Herbert fan. I mean, we've got an Aaron Rodgers story to follow here.
I mean, I'm at the point, I think, Jacob, to give you my answer, is that of the AFC teams that will be in the playoffs, or even the teams that are still have a chance to get in the playoffs, as long as it's anybody but Denver or New England, it'll be a good story.
See, I think New England is a good story.
It is. It's a good story, but it's not as feel-good as the other stories, I think.
No, probably not. But man, Vrabel's return there after being so stupidly cast aside in Tennessee.
And everybody likes Drake May.
You're correct, I think, on that. Nobody wants to see Denver do it, I don't think. I don't think people like Sean Payton. Nobody wants to buy into Bo Nix. Like, Denver's kind of turning into the bad guy to me. Especially around here, obviously.
I need to see. If it's not going to be the Chiefs, like, I just need to see a World Series type of matchup that was the Diamondbacks versus the Rangers. Like that's what I need this one to look like. Like Arizona in the World Series.
So if you want that outcome, you're probably going to need like a Bears versus Jaguars. God, I think to get that sort of, you know, like it, and that's not going to happen, but like, that's what you would have to have. I think the Bears are a great story. There are some good ones. Houston, behind that defense, could they do something special? It sucks that the Chiefs aren't in it, right? Because it's just a little more interesting that way. Can Lamar somehow sneak the Ravens through and do the thing in the postseason that he's never done? I think there are clear teams to root for, and there are clear teams to root against here. The Broncos, the Eagles, the Niners, the Packers, absolutely not. Don't want any part of it. I don't want to root for the Steelers, but I'm kind of in on 45-year-old Rodgers throwing the birds. It's kind of cool.
Mike Tomlin? You just got to root for Mike Tomlin.
I just don't like the Steelers as a rule. But this is kind of a cool one. I love Mike Tomlin, and I don't love Aaron Rodgers. Please don't misunderstand. But the fact that they're doing it, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, I'm a little in on that. Obviously, Rivers. Could we get Phillip Rivers? Could we get the Colts in the playoffs? And can the planets align and we see Phillip Rivers go to Pittsburgh and Rodgers and Rivers play in the first round? I think that's possible.
Is he going to keep starting? Do we know?
Yeah, he's starting this week.
Is he really?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Unless something's changed in the last 24 hours, the expectation was for him to start again. He didn't look bad. He looked fine.
But at what point do you, say, hey, we got a 23-year-old, we could just develop him?
But I think the Bills, like Bills Bears, is probably your storybook.
Bills Bears would be awesome.
Bills Bears would probably be the storybook.
As long as it's not the Broncos, the Patriots, the Rams, or the Eagles.
You'd have a problem with the Rams? Else. I don't have a problem with the Rams.
I like the Rams. But they just won one more recently than everybody else.
They have, and so has Tampa. I don't have a problem with Tampa either because Baker Mayfield now.
Baker Mayfield would be a great story.
I don't know that they're, to me, is like this heavy favorite either. I think it's the Rams, but Devontae Adams is now dealing with a hamstring injury. Is it the Rams if Devontae Adams isn't there? He leads the league in touchdowns this year. Stafford gets down in the red zone. It's like, where's Adams? I'm just going to throw to him. Right. So this is a postseason I can get behind, but it'll be weird. Not as somebody who's covered the Chiefs, like just as a fan of football, to not have that clear and concise for the rest of the country, public enemy number one. It was the Patriots, and then it was the Chiefs, and it was pretty seamless. There's always been the love them or hate them team in there. I don't know that they're in there this year.
I agree.
All right, TJ, we didn't get a chance to get to this yesterday, but over the weekend, the Royals made a pretty significant trade. You guys were giving me a hard time. It was right in the middle of KU going to overtime and everything in the world. But I'm like, hey, the Royals just kind of made an interesting trade. I think you guys thought it was because of Zerpa. It just wasn't because of Zerpa. Because I've had some issues with Zerpa over the years in the way that he's been utilized. Had nothing to do with Zerpa. That's who the Royals traded away. It's who they got back for just Zerpa. They got as Isaac Collins, who, look, that's not a name that probably moves a lot of needles for most baseball fans, but he's a pretty good player. There was a time last year where he was legitimately in the running for Rookie of the Year. Now he's a 28-year-old rookie, right? More likely is a utility type player for the Royals. But then they also get Nick Mears, who profiles about the same as Angel Zerpa out of the bullpen. I believe he's a righty, though. Either way, the Royals fill kind of a need here. I hope that the answer for them in left field is not a platoon of Lane Thomas and Isaac Collins, but it certainly could be. Collins, though, played some second base last year. He played some third base last year. We saw them tidy up Michael Garcia. That's another story we haven't really followed here yet. These things have been happening over the weekend and at the winter meetings, and we've had these nuclear bombs dropped on us. But they extend Michael Garcia, which I was really glad to see. So they're kind of tidying things up so far this offseason. But that one big move that I don't know that they've still made, unless it's this Collins trade.
I think they'll still make another move. But Collins is a guy that I think could be an everyday player for sure.
I think he could be. I think Lane Thomas could be too. Like those are high upside players.
Lane Thomas is an interesting one because he, which is not what the conversation we're having here is, but side note is that he has had some success and had a kind of a breakout year and then didn't pan out last year and he got a contract and didn't pan out. Now he's here. They got him cheap. And, you hope you can rebuild him into something that can be a guy that can, platoon in or even be somebody that could be that good. But Isaac Collins is a guy that, as you said, he was a chance he could get the Rookie of the Year last year. Like, if he can find a way to sustain that, you're not going to get a ton of them, and that's why they got him for Angel Serpa. But like, if you can get a couple of years of that kind of production out of him to put in left field, like, that's huge. I think that they will go get somebody. But now my brain goes to the fact of like, maybe it doesn't need to be, you know, an outfielder. It can be somebody else if you can find a spot for him, obviously. But like, it doesn't feel like there's such a gaping hole in the outfield anymore.
Well, you're most likely going to have, look, you're going to have Garcia at third. You're going to have Bobby Witt Jr. at short. You're going to have Vinny Pasquantino at first.
The hole is basically outfield or second base or DH, basically.
Right. And that's what, so Collins can do all of that. I don't know how much now I would even say there's a hole at DH, because they made their decision to call up one of the young catchers and Salvador Perez is there. So I don't even know that there's a hole at DH now. You basically have left field and second base, and to have as many guys as you can that can kind of do both is probably not a bad thing. We know the Royals and JJ Piccolo like to have that flexibility, right? We've seen it for too long now. We know they want it, and probably some center field too. I think Lane Thomas can play some center field if he needed to, but you hope Jack Caglione is just your right fielder. And, you know, at maybe someday he can be a first baseman, but that's not what he's going to do right now. He needs to be a right fielder. He needs to spend his entire spring being the best right fielder he can be. Use a good arm out there, which is a good thing to have. And
I don't care if he's the worst fielding right fielder in baseball.
Either. I don't either.
If he hit 40 bombs, that is great. He could make
ball.
He could make 100 errors.
Have a strong throwing arm, which he does.
He could make an error every other game, and I would be tickled if he could hit a home run in every other game too.
That's right. I agree. So now the question becomes, they have the depth that you would want there. That's all in place, right? Does it have enough pop? Are we comfortable enough? Are the Royals comfortable enough to, and they still have Jonathan India too, right?
Yep. They avoided arbitration with him.
So you know, you're looking at is it enough in the offense? And I think that they could walk into next season with roster in place, and you could say, okay, like
they feel maybe significantly better than they were last year.
Oh, I don't think that. I mean, you're counting on really to say that is that they're healthier, which could help, right? Cole Reagans is healthier, but that Jack Caglione takes that next step. And to me,
that's
like,
true.
We've still got to see that happen.
I guess that's the big question mark, but like, they have patched the holes that, like, they patched a hole. They didn't, you know, make the hole better, but they patched the hole. If Collins can be something of that nature, if those guys can platoon and fill left field, you could maybe upgrade at center field a little bit. But, you know, they like Kyle Isbell a lot. But, like, if they rolled out, if they didn't make another move, they could roll this out, and it should be a playoff team. I don't know if they went and made a move and got Ketel Marte, who is a name that keeps getting floated out for some reason, or even Jaron Duran or somebody else to help out in a big way. Like, then it's a team that's like, this team should probably win the Central, mate. Like, you know, I don't know
right now. Yeah, and it's especially if the Tigers trade Tarik Skubal.
Exactly.
Right now, the Royals are picked, you know, third. If you're looking at World Series odds, the Guardians are 30-1, the Tigers are 30-1, and then the Royals are 40-1. So right now, like, the odds makers are telling us, we don't know what's going on in the Central, but the Royals at 40-1 right now before they potentially make that trade.
So win the Central,
pretty good spot. No, to win the World Series. God,
I was going to say, good Lord.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, like, with the starting pitching that they have and an evolution of Jack Caglione, I'm not saying it's likely. It's obviously not likely, but if you're going to get in on the Royals, you probably want to do it now, because if any of those trades that you're talking about happen, if they do the thing that we've all kind of thought they should, those odds will skyrocket.
Yeah.
If they brought in Ketel Marte today, those odds are going to skyrocket.
I mean, right? that feels like that's a dark horse team with Ketel Marte. Like, if they can pitch the way that they've pitched, that's a good team.
They're a dark horse team anyway, right? They're a dark horse team because they have so much pitching depth that it sort of lessens the risk of injury, right? Like, if they decided, you know what, we just kind of want the pitching depth, then you're raising your floor up by doing that, because you're like, last year, if they didn't have it, they'd have been toast, but they had all the injuries and they were able to sustain it for most of the season. It's really, to me, it's the Cags factor. There isn't a player out there, even Ketel Marte, that potentially raises up the ceiling of this team more than him taking the next step of his, you know, of his career, if it happens. That's the most impactful thing that can happen for the Royals. That and Cole Higgins being back fully healthy.
The Cags case study is just so interesting because, like, if you look at the stats, you know, what saying is scorecard doesn't have pictures and everything like that. If you looked at the stats, you'd say, yeah, it's kind of a disappointment season for him. But then for us that have watched, I mean, we watched majority, if not every single game of him since he got called up. Like, he hit the absolute piss out of the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's just baseball, and it sucks.
He was unlucky. You're right.
But he's unlucky. And, like, you hate to say that because, you know, baseball's the game where you don't want to sit here and say, well, it's just bad fortune. But, like, I had never seen anybody happen to them as much as it happened to Jack Caglione last year for months. Like, he was he was lining out with 111-mile-an-hour exit velos. Like, if you can just continue that and get the fortune swinging back your way, like, he'll be fine. Like, that's what I think about the Caglione situation.
I do too, but he's got to stop, you know, he's got to fix some things too. I think he's going to be better. At minimum, he's going to be at least a little bit better, right? Like, just for the luck factor. So I think that the move to make is still to bring in another big bat. Like, why be satisfied? Why not go try to be one of the best offenses in baseball? Why not have an offense start with Garcia and Witt and Vinny and Salvi and Cags and insert name here? Why not?
Yep. I agree.
That's the thing. We keep thinking of them as this team led by starting pitching, and they will be. They could easily be a team led by offense. But for 2 years now, I mean, we're having this conversation with the Chiefs. How many times do you run it back? For 2 years now, this offensive has left way too much meat on the bone. So even if Cags does come up, does that make them a more clutch team? Or, yeah, if Ketel Marte is really available and you have all this depth in the starting rotation, you have the catching depth that they have, go get Ketel Marte. He's not expensive related to his peers, and he's signed up for forever.
The Royals offense is so interesting because, like, I agree, like, the offense wasn't good last year. But the thing is that they had Michael Garcia, who is a top 10 average hitter in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., who was the hits king in baseball, Salvi, who went on a power surge halfway through the season, and, like, they've got so many, like, they all, like, are good hitters, and they put together good averages, but they were just so bad at scoring runs. Like, and that's baseball, I understand that, but, like, you can't change any. Like, you can't ask them to do better than that. You know what I mean? Like, they just have to score the runners in scoring position.
It's 2 years of that now, too, by the way.
I know.
Marte does not have the Royals on his no trade. He has a no trade, and there are teams on there. It is not the Royals. Here's, you know what he reminds me of? And I'll tell you this as a Rangers fan. Royals fans may not be, like, in on him. He reminds me of Adrian Beltre. When the Rangers went and got Adrian Beltre, I'm like, yeah, he's a good player, but, like, he's been around forever. He's kind of older. The Rangers signed him in his age 32 season, and he was an MVP candidate almost every year. And became my favorite baseball player ever. But it's because, like, he brought the energy, and, like, that's kind of how Marte profiles right now. He's going into his age 32 season. He's undervalued across baseball. He has been tremendous the last 3 years. Unbelievable.
He was an MVP candidate 3 years ago, right?
So, well, I mean, he's been one of the best players in baseball for 3 years. He was third in MVP voting 2 years ago. Had he not been hurt last year, he does have a little bit of an injury history, which makes you nervous, but his contract's not out of control, and it is in the range that the Royals could probably make work. It's just you have to factor in his contract with getting Vinny Pasquantino signed up, but you have Jack Caglione. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense if he's actually available. I don't know how available he actually is. I don't know why the Diamondbacks would trade him.
In a two-week span, we've seen Chris Kleiman retire, Colin Klein get hired, Patrick Mahomes blow out his ACL, the Chiefs miss the playoffs. Let's add one more, and the Royals go make a big
move. Go trade for Shohei Ohtani. That's
been
a couple of weeks.
All right, that does it for us on Sports Daily. We'll continue to follow the progress today, see what comes down for Patrick Mahomes and that recovery, see if we get any more indications of timelines. But we'll have that for you and can discuss tomorrow. We've also got basketball tonight. Darren Peterson, how much does he play? DJ, I guess we'll find out. It sure sounds like they're just going to keep going with what they've been doing.
They said they're not sure. I would be interested. I could see a world where he does not play tonight, but I think the plan is for him to play tonight. But I'll be tuned into the Towson Tigers.
Shreyas Lotta will be in tomorrow to discuss everything that's been coming down with that. And the big game for Melvin Council Jr. Shout out to him for all the Big 12 Player of the Week awards. We'll have that tomorrow for you. For TJ, for Max, thanks to Wyatt Thompson. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.